Well, we're very happy that you are able to be with us today, and it's a great thing when we come together as Christians and brothers and sisters in Christ to worship on the first day of the week. We are here to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord that He may lift us up. We don't seek to be flashy in our worship, but to be worshiping as He directs us, to remember what He has done for us, certainly His Son Jesus Christ, that He came into this world and He loved us so much that He laid down His very life for us. And as we come together and partake of the Lord's Supper, these simple elements, we are reminded in beautiful way of that each and every first day of the week. And in our singing, we're able to sing praises and to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And as Jesus said, or as the Apostle Paul said, that whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We're going to look this morning to a passage in Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 11, and we encourage you to open your Bible there. And if you don't have a Bible, if you will raise your hand, we will get one for you. But we would encourage you to have your Bible open and turn to Matthew chapter 27. And we'll be spending most of our time this morning in this text here as we look at the events that led up to the crucifixion of Jesus, our Savior. In Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 11, we find that the Jewish authorities had done all that they could, and they brought Pilate, they brought Jesus to the Roman governor, Pilate, Pontius Pilate. They had arrested Jesus. They had brought those charges that they had against Him before the Sanhedrin. And the high priest had signed off that He was worthy of death. They came to Pilate seeking an execution order from him. They simply wanted him to approve their verdict and to issue the order of execution. They said, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death. And we have found this man guilty of these crimes, and we have come to you, and we want you to sign his death warrant." And so Pontius Pilate, in this scene, we have preserved for us, we find the Roman governor here on the hot spot. We find him put on a hot seat as far as he had to make a decision. Pontius Pilate has been verified in archaeological discoveries of being the governor of Judea at this time. He was actually the Roman governor for about 10 years. And in 1961, there was a discovery that was made in Caesarea in the land of Israel. And it is known as the Pilate Stone. The Pilate Stone was discovered there in 1961. And it is an inscription in stone which names Pontius Pilate as the governor of Judea. And according to historical evidence, he was the Roman governor for 10 years over this territory. He was appointed by the Roman emperor to serve this area. But his rule of those 10 years is overshadowed by this one interview that he had with Jesus on this occasion, in which he made a decision that would change the course of all human history from that day forever after. And I would like for you to notice the question that he asked here in Matthew 27 in verse 22. What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ. God has always given His people a choice. And Pilate was given a choice here, and you and I are given a choice. This question calls for a response from each one of us this morning. What shall I do with Jesus? What shall you do with Jesus? That same question that was brought to Pilate, that question that he asked of the Jews that day, is a question that you and I must answer, even in our lives today. God has given us a choice, as He has given people a choice from the very beginning of time, that each one of us has a responsibility to make a choice of who we will serve in our lives. Reminded of Moses when the children of Israel had come to the border of the Promised Land, that he said to the people of Israel there before he died, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." That's what God wanted the people of Israel to do, was to choose life. He wanted them to be saved. He wanted them to have His blessings as they went into the land of Israel. But they had to make that choice. Later, Joshua, the successor to Moses, made more or less the same challenge to the people of Israel, and he appealed to them in the same way. He said, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of the Amorites or the gods of Egypt. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Elijah challenged the people of Israel at Mount Carmel in his day, as recorded in 1 Kings chapter 18. He said, "How long will you falter or hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God's, follow Him. If Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. In other words, make a choice. If God is God, serve Him. If Baal, serve him. But make your choice. And so Pilate even had a choice. He had the power of choice that was given to him here by the people of Israel. And they brought the prisoner Jesus to him, asking them to give the death warrant. And so Pilate on that occasion was judge and jury. And we know the response that he made on that occasion. But I want us to put him on trial this morning and to consider his decision, and to see how that same issue and that same decision confronts each one of us in our lives today. As far as what will you do with Jesus? What will each one of us do with Jesus? We also must decide what we are going to do with Him in our lives. And the first thing I would point out to you this morning, as we look at Pilate and the decision that he had to make here, and that is that you must examine him for yourself in order to make this decision. You must examine Jesus, who he is, for yourself. Don't take what anybody else said, what you have heard from some person that has been passed down in your family through many generations. It is your responsibility and my responsibility to decide for ourselves, what will I do with Jesus? You have that responsibility to examine him for yourself. They came to Pilate and they said, "Here's what he did. We just want you to put your name right here and we will take care of it. We'll get on with it." And Pilate said, "No. I want to talk to him myself." And he did. He conducted an interview with Jesus. He didn't want to just simply sign the order. He was the governor. He had the power of choice. And he said, I must interview him and talk to this man. So he did. And what did he find out when he examined Jesus on that occasion for himself? He found out very quickly that the problem was not with the accused, but with the accusers. Verse 18, Pilate very quickly was able to identify in his mind what the real cause was here. It said, for he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. It was not because of what this man had done. That was not the reason. It was because they were envious of him. Pilate recognized that fact. They had brought all these charges against him. They said he made himself out to be God. He threatened to destroy the temple. He's trying to create a rebellion, an insurrection. Pilate saw through all of that. He knew that was not the issue. It's not because of any of those things that you want him executed. It's because you're envious of him. I know that. They were not able to focus on what Jesus had brought to this world, the wonderful things he had done, the truth that he had taught, the amazing miracles that he had performed. They were envious of him because all they could see was, what is he trying to take away from us? He's trying to take away our nation. He's trying to take away our city. He's going to take away our power, our influence. He's a threat. And so they were envious of him and they wanted him put to death. Now John's account in John, the 18th chapter in John 19, there we find that Pilate on three separate times said, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. And so Pilate interviewed Jesus. And he asked him specific questions about some of these things that he was accused of. And he concluded that he was not guilty, that he was innocent of these charges. Not just that he hadn't done anything worthy of death, he wasn't guilty of anything in the mind of Pilate. And in Matthew 27 here, when he asked the question, what shall I do with Jesus? They said, crucify him. And he said, why? What evil has he done? And so it's not wrong for us to investigate who Jesus is. We need to make that investigation for ourselves and not just accept what somebody else has said to us. We need to be willing to take the time to make an honest investigation to find out who Jesus is and what is the evidence for him in the claims that are being made. God doesn't want blind faith. He doesn't want people who just do this because it's what we've always done. It's because it's what mom and dad did. It's what's been in our family for many years, and therefore that's the reason that I am here this morning. God wants us to be people who have solid faith because we have investigated Jesus for ourselves and come to the conclusion that we want to be his disciples. We want to be his followers because we believe that he is the Son of God and that he died for us. Now, it's easy for us to be critical of Thomas, the apostle in John chapter 20, because of when Jesus appeared to them on the first time after his resurrection in John chapter 20, Thomas was not present. You remember that on that occasion, that Thomas was not among the 11 the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And they later spoke to Thomas and they said that he is risen from the dead. And Thomas said, unless I see with my own eyes, I will not believe. Unless I can reach your finger in here and look at the nail prints in his hands and in his feet and put my hand in his side, he said, I will not believe. I want to see the evidence for myself. And we sometimes we look at Thomas and we say, now Thomas was a doubting person, but in 8 days later, Jesus reappeared among the disciples. He came through the doors, were shut into the room where they were standing. And he knew what Thomas had said. He came to Thomas and he said to him right away, he said, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Jesus said, here, look and investigate. See for yourself the nail prints in my hands. It's not wrong to investigate. Come and see. Come and find out. We should each one want to know. We need to do that for ourselves. If you don't, then what are you going to do when your faith is really put to the test? And you have not taken the time to investigate it. How strong is your faith going to be when that time comes in your life where you are put to the test? Well, my parents believed this, and I've always assumed that it was true. And my preacher always used to say this, are you going to stand on what you believe or on what someone else has passed down to you in that way? You need to examine for yourself before you ever decide what you are going to do with Jesus. Make certain that you have the fact. Don't operate on what someone else believes or says. See it for yourself. We're told in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3 that John began his epistle here. And he talked about, in fact, he said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen and we bear witness. And so he's giving his testimony that we are eyewitnesses of Jesus. We saw him with our own eyes. We handled him with our own hands. Examine it for yourself and make your choice, because it's your responsibility. It's each one of us that has that responsibility to make that investigation to find out if Jesus is who he claims to be. The second thing that we see about Pilate is that you cannot remain neutral no matter how hard you try when it comes to Jesus. You have to decide and you can't put it off. You can't avoid that decision as it confronts each one of us. Now, Pilate attempted to do that. He made several attempts to put it off, to avoid having to make the decision. We see that in the first attempt that he made, he said, well, this man is from Galilee. That's not my jurisdiction. And so he sent him over to Herod. Herod happened to be in Jerusalem on that day, according to Luke's account in Luke chapter 22. And so he sent him over to Herod, who was the ruler of Galilee. And thinking that that would solve the problem, that would get it off the hook as far as he was concerned. But it didn't work, because Herod didn't find anything wrong with him either, and he sent him back to Pilate. And then in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 15, we see that Pilate had this great idea. And he said, there's a custom here that we have, that each year at the Passover, there's a custom that the governor is accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wish. And his idea was to stack the deck, because he would put two prisoners up there side by side, and it would make it so that they would obviously choose to release Jesus. So he brought out this prisoner Barabbas. And the Bible says concerning Barabbas that here in Matthew said he was a notorious prisoner. But in some of the other accounts, it goes on to say that he had been in prison for insurrection and for murder and for robbery. And so surely Pilate was thinking, surely they're not going to want to put this guy back on the streets. And they will release Jesus, and that will I will be done with it. And so he brought them out, and he had them stand next to each other. And what happened? Well, the Jewish leaders were out in the crowd, and they began to whisper and murmur around. And they said, when he asked the question, say Barabbas. And so Pilate comes out there, and he brings Jesus and Barabbas. And he asked them the question, which of the two do you want me to release to you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate must have been surprised at that decision, because he was hoping to put Jesus free. And yet he still had to make the decision. I would say to you this morning that you and I, we cannot remain neutral with Jesus either. Pilate attempted to wash his hands of the matter in verse 24. But he still had to make the decision. You may remember that back following 9/11, the president had a speech before the joint session of Congress that was televised nationally at prime time in the evening. And in that speech, he said something that made everyone stand up and applaud. And he was referring to the terrorists that had done this. He said, if you are not with us, you are the enemy. Referring to those nations that were out there that were harboring terrorists. And he said, we are going to draw the line, and that you're either going to be with us or against us. And if you are not willing to join with us in the fight, then we're going to count you among the enemy. And they all applauded. There wasn't a person in the house that didn't agree with that statement. Well, he got that from Jesus. Jesus is the one who made that statement. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30 that if you are not with us, you are with the enemy. You are, he that is not with us is against us. He that is not with me is against me. He that does not gather together scatters abroad. In other words, there are only two options. You either are with Jesus or you're against him. So the question still remains, what will I do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? We cannot remain neutral. We must make a decision. Our world has tried to do that in various ways, and still tries to do it. People try to take the middle ground, thinking that they will not have to make a decision about their commitment to God or to Christ. And many people would say, well, I'm not willing to be an atheist. I'm not going to say that I don't believe in God. But at the same time, they say, I'm not sure about the Bible being the Word of God, you know, and I'm not willing to make a commitment about that. There's so many things that are uncertain about it. And so I'll just choose the middle ground and say, there's not enough evidence one way or the other, and so I'll be an agnostic. But we don't have that choice. You either believe in Jesus or you don't believe in Jesus. And you're either with him or against him. To refuse to decide is still to decide. You still have made your decision. You say, here's what I will do. I'm not going to do anything. I'll do nothing. You've just made your decision. You cannot remain neutral when it comes to the Son of God. And so when it came to Pilate, what he needed to do, what you and I need to do, was just to do the right thing. And the question is, do we have the courage to do the right thing? Because I believe, and I know from the evidence given in the text, Pilate knew what the right thing to do was. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 17, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Pilate knew what the right thing to do was. There are some cases today in our court system that are very difficult to decide. I have sat on the jury, and cases where you might have your clear idea as to the guilt or the innocence, but then you have to go into the deliberation room for the jury. And there's 12 on the jury. And it has to be a unanimous decision, because in a criminal case, it has to be unanimous. It has to be beyond reasonable doubt. And so 12 jurors go into the deliberation room, and you have to go over the facts of the case, and you have to go back over them several times and take each piece of evidence and weigh that evidence and decide, is that sufficient evidence to, beyond reasonable doubt, conclude that this person committed the crime? And sometimes it takes several days for the jury to come to the deliberation where they can have a verdict on that. But on this occasion, it didn't take Pilate that long to make his decision. Pilate knew what the answer was. He knew what was right, but he was persuaded by other sources, and he wasn't willing to do what he knew was right, because the pressure was put upon him to equivocate in his choice. And it said in verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, or a riot, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And so Pilate understood the fact that things were starting to get out of control here. He was thinking within it to himself. He's thinking, I'm the Roman governor. I am put here to maintain order in this district. And this thing is about to blow up and get out of my control. I have to do something. What is going to happen to my job and my reputation? And so what was right was quickly replaced by what's right for me. We each have to decide to do the right thing, and that doesn't mean that doing the right thing is necessarily going to be easy. It's not going to be an easy choice to do the right thing when it comes to Jesus. Sometimes we are persuaded by the majority, even when we know that the right thing to do is different than what the majority is doing, we're persuaded by the majority to go along with the crowd. It's not going to be what makes us fit in if I decide to follow Jesus. It's not what everyone else is doing. So rather than feel the friction and the conflict with those that we are surrounded by out in the world, we sacrifice sometimes what we know to be right for what is convenient, the easy way out. What shall I do with Jesus? The question needs to be, what would he have me to do? He's the one I want to please. He's the one whose approval I'm seeking. He's the one I want to be right with, even if nobody else makes that choice around me. What would Jesus have me to do? Pilate had to make a career decision. And I hope that you and I, that everyone in this room this morning, will have the courage to do the right thing. One day, we're going to be on trial ourselves. We have to, as far as Jesus is concerned, we have to consider the fact that if I follow Him, this may very well close some doors that I have always wanted to go through my entire life. I may not be able to do that if I decide to follow Jesus. I just can't pursue this path that I am on and follow Jesus at the same time. But I'm going to follow Him. Are you willing to make that commitment? It may mean that some of the people who have been a big part of my life, I'm going to have to part company. I just can't be around these people and think good thoughts and say good things. But I'm still going to follow Jesus because that's the right thing to do. It's not going to be the easy choice, but it will be the right one. So, 10 years, Pilate was the governor. 10 years, he was the governor of Judea. And it all came down to this one day and this one decision. What shall I do with Jesus? It's a life-changing decision for each one of us. It affects everything you do in your life. Your life will never be the same. Even when you decide to just walk away, you've already been exposed to the truth. You can't ignore it. We know what choice Pilate made. But the question comes to you and to me. In our lives today, what will I do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? We're going to be put on trial ourselves someday. Not before the governor, not before some earthly judge, but before the God of heaven, the judge of the living and the dead. And we're going to have to give an answer to how we decided what we decided to do with Jesus. And I hope and pray that every one of us here today made the right decision. When we stand before the King, God in heaven on that day, Jesus had a choice also to make. Because He wasn't forced to come here. He didn't have to go to the cross. He was the Lamb of God, but He still had the power to choose to lay down His life or not lay down His life. But He gave everything for us. And doesn't that tell us that He deserves that we would give Him everything? That we would give Him our all in return? We cannot repay Him for the gift He has given us. But as He laid down His life for us, we can eliminate anything that stands between us and Him. Any sacrifice, any stumbling block, anything that hinders me from being willing to be faithful to Jesus, I can put that aside. And with my whole heart, follow Him for the rest of my life. Are you willing to do that this morning? What will you do with Jesus? Will you follow Him? Will you obey Him? Will you submit to His terms of forgiveness of sins? Would you come back to Him this morning if you have given your life over to the things of this world? Are you ready to be His disciple again today? And if we can assist you this morning, we want you to come right now while we stand together and sing.
Let's change that to song number 125 instead of that.